Hello everybody and welcome to another video with Thomas. Let me share the screen. So if you're watching the video, you can see. If you're listening to the podcast version, you just need to hear to my voice. Anyway, once again, it's been a while since my last video and I apologize for that, but let's get back into it, into the habit of making these videos regularly. Now, on my last article, I wrote about the RSK blockchain, and I wanted to make a little video just talking about it, explaining what it is and why I think it's such a wonderful creation. Okay, so the RSK, in essence, it's a Bitcoin layer 2 that is EVM compatible. Now, I know these are a bunch of words that you might not understand what they actually mean. So let's break it down in little pieces so it's easy to understand. So what is a Bitcoin layer 2? Okay, for the most part, since Bitcoin was created, there has been this fight within the community, because Bitcoin as code, it's extremely simple. Okay, Bitcoin is very simple. You can send Bitcoins, you can receive Bitcoins, and that is pretty much all you can do. It doesn't do much more than that. And people have been, you know, they were arguing that if you have programmable money, money that exists as a code, you could, in theory, do a lot more things. Like we see Ethereum, you know, Ethereum has smart contracts and you can do all these kind of things and you can build dApps on it. And it's incredible. Now that, all that, what I'm going to call operability or functionality, comes with a price. And the price is that the information size of the blocks, you know, the blockchain is you have all these blocks, and the blocks are all the transactions that are bundled together in blocks and they're uploaded to the blockchain. So what happens is that the information in those blocks gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and that creates problems when it comes to running a node. Okay, so Bitcoin in essence works, the miners gather all the transactions and they propose a block of transactions to upload to the blockchain. Then the nodes are the ones that check that there's no shenanigans in that block, that everything is okay, and that all the Bitcoin miners are in consensus that block is legitimate, right? If a miner is trying to give themselves more Bitcoins than they should, then the nodes will check and they will reject that block. So that block would not go into the blockchain. That's the defense mechanism that Bitcoin has. And it works because the miners need to spend a lot of energy, but the Bitcoin nodes, the ones that are checking, use very little energy. So you can have way more nodes than you have miners. And it's very expensive for the miner to try and cheat the system. That's why Bitcoin works, because the incentives are such that if you go against the system, you spend a lot of energy and you get nothing. Whereas if you play along, you get rewarded and the nodes accept the blocks that you propose. The problem that happens when you start adding more functionality to your coin is that the blocks get bigger, bigger, and bigger. And that means that nodes need more and more of processing power. So that tends to create problems because it's much harder to run nodes. You know, it has all these secondary issues, let's just say. So anyway, that's why the Bitcoin core community decided that the Bitcoin chain should stay as simple as possible, so that the blocks are small and the node, you can run a node operator in pretty much any computer. So it's easy, everybody can do it, and we can have a ton of nodes spread around the world, you know, Bitcoin has this massive emphasis in decentralization. So everything needs to be spread out across the world. So it's harder to attack. And that is wonderful. So that's when the concept of Bitcoin layer two started emerging, because people were saying, okay, we have the Bitcoin, main Bitcoin chain, and that's gonna be the layer one. And that's gonna be kept simple. And you know, it's gonna be the most secure. Its priority, its security, reliability, and you know, resistance. But what we can do is we can start running layers on top of Bitcoin, or side chains, some are called. And what they will have, all these different operability functions. And what they will do is every now and then they will settle on the main Bitcoin chain. And in that way, you can get the best out of both worlds. You can get the operability of chains like Ethereum, and you can get the security of the main Bitcoin blockchain. So that is, has been talked about a bit for a number of years. People were theorizing this, right? And since the last few years, we started seeing the first attempts at actually building this Bitcoin layer two. So RSK is one of those attempts at building a Bitcoin layer two. And it appears to work. So that's why I'm very, very excited. There has been others like Lightning Network. You might have heard about it. It's another layer two. The Lightning Network, we're gonna make a separate video, but basically it's focused on making it so that you can transfer Bitcoin with very, very, very low fees, like less than a penny. And you can make transactions instantly. So if you're on the Lightning Network, you can do all that stuff. And then every now and then the Lightning Network will settle in Bitcoin. And that's when you get the stability, security, and all that of the main Bitcoin network. Then there's another one called Stacks, which I'm gonna make a separate video after. And that's another approach to Bitcoin layer two. Now, RSK, the reason why I'm so fascinated with RSK is because it's the first layer two that's EVM compatible. EVM means Ethereum Virtual Machine. This means basically any code that is now running on Ethereum could potentially be brought to RSK, and it should work. And the reason why to me this is fascinating is because Ethereum, so far, it has been the chain that has had the most things built on it, the most experimentation being run on it, and it's been doing it for a couple of years. So we can look at Ethereum, what worked, what didn't, what has sustained the test of time so far. We're still very early, so it's all still very experimental. But we can start to get a clear picture of what works and what doesn't. And the people working in RSK now, they're taking all the code that worked and they're starting to applying it to RSK. Now, some people are concerned about that Ethereum tends to centralize because running a node is so much more difficult because of the information of the blocks. There's so much bigger. And there, you know, there's certain concerns. There's also certain concerns about the fact that the monetary policy keeps changing, and it's not certain what's going to happen. And whereas the monetary policy in Bitcoin, it's pretty much set in stone. Like, it can change in very small ways, but for the most part, the way Bitcoin runs now, it's how it's going to run for the next, 100 years. So that gives you certain confidence. So if we can grab all that experimental stuff that's happening in Ethereum and all that innovation, all that exciting things, DeFi, NFTs, all that stuff, and we can bring it to the Bitcoin ecosystem, that could potentially be, I don't know, like revolutionary would be the perfect word to describe it. To me, it is the most exciting thing happening in crypto right now, to me. I think merging these two, you know, the operability of Ethereum plus the security and stability of Bitcoin, that is the way to go forward, in my opinion. You know, you have to do your own research, of course. Another thing that I love about RSK is that the main asset, the one that you use to pay fees, it's not Bitcoin exactly, because Bitcoin runs in it in its own chain, but it's not BTC, it's called RBTC. And pretty much it's a one-to-one mirror of Bitcoin. So in order to get RBTC, you have to lock Bitcoin, and then you get the same amount of RBTC out. And whenever you want, you can do the inverse. You can put RBTC and take your Bitcoin back. So what that does is that RBTC is always collateralized on a one-to-one ratio with Bitcoin, which means that it always keeps the same price as Bitcoin. So if Bitcoin goes up, RBTC goes up. If Bitcoin goes down, RBTC goes down. So it's pretty much the same asset, but running on a different chain, the RSK chain. So I like that because, you know, if you're using Ethereum or Polygon or Solana or Avalanche or all the other smart contract platforms, the underlying asset is completely separate from Bitcoin. And at least to me, and this is my own personal opinion, I think the asset, the Bitcoin asset, it's the most important asset in the world. So I want as many of my application and as much of my funds to be tied up to the Bitcoin asset. So having a chain that operates with a one-to-one asset pegged to Bitcoin, to me, that's incredible. That is what I want. And that is what RSK gives me. So it gives me everything I want. It gives me, you know, using Bitcoin as the underlying asset. It gives me the operability of all the other chains, and it gives me the security of settling in the main Bitcoin chain. That's all I want in my crypto, you know? And another thing that is amazing is that RSK uses something called, I think I heard it mentioned as merge mining. Okay, so what this process does is that the miners of Bitcoin have the option of, at the same time as they're mining Bitcoin, they can mine the RSK chain at the same time. The way this works is very simple. So you have all these miners around the world mining Bitcoin, right? You have millions and millions of miners across the world. Now, of all those miners, every time there's a block updated into the blockchain, which happens approximately every 10 minutes, so all the miners propose a block, and only one of them gets to upload the block to the blockchain. So that means that all the other ones pretty much go to waste. You know, it's not waste, but you understand, like it doesn't go into the chain itself. So merge mining, what that does is that from all the miners that did not get to upload their block into the blockchain, they have a chance to upload the RSK block into the RSK blockchain and get rewarded in Bitcoin. So for all the Bitcoin miners, this is a free extra source of revenue. So this has a number of implications. Number one is that by using the RSK blockchain, you are supporting the Bitcoin miners. And Bitcoin being the best asset that we have as a society, you know, providing more funds to the Bitcoin miners means that Bitcoin miners can spend more energy. And when they do that, they make the chain more resistant, harder to attack, more expensive to attack. So you are supporting the strengthening of the Bitcoin network if you're using RSK. It is not the same if you're using Ethereum, Solana, or all the other smart contract platforms. This is a unique aspect of the RSK blockchain, that you are making the main Bitcoin network stronger if you use RSK. That is amazing. Honestly, I think people don't fully understand how important that is. Where were we? I sort of lost a bit of track. Okay, so merge mining means that all the Bitcoin miners can, if they want to, mine RSK at the same time. I believe the last figure that I've seen is that close to 70% of the Bitcoin miners are actually merge mining RSK at the same time. And it is no wonder. If you're a miner, it's almost like free revenue. It takes almost no more energy than you're already spending, and it gives you more more money, more income. So it's understandable that most of the Bitcoin miners will try and merge mine. So that is the RSK blockchain. It's the first Bitcoin layer 2 EVM compatible chain that is merge mined by the Bitcoin miners, and it settles in the Bitcoin blockchain. I am very, very excited about it. It's kind of new. It doesn't have a lot of applications running on it, but it already has some, and that they're very interesting. And I am researching about them as much as I can. I'm trying to learn as much as I can about it. And I'm going to make more videos in the future talking about each specific applications that I think are extremely valuable. So that is going to be the video for now. I really, really encourage you to research more about this, especially I think the Bitcoin layer 2 ecosystem, not just RSK. For me, of all the ones that I've seen, RSK is the one that has me the most excited. But I also want to start researching more the other ones. But I think the Bitcoin layer 2 space is something that we need to pay more attention to, I believe. But don't take my word for it. Just do your own research, please. So that is all for now. Thank you for staying with me through my ramblings. And I hope I get to see you on the next time. Have fun. Enjoy your day. And good luck with whatever it is that you're doing right now.